Okay, Rav Osai. We had left off in the midst of a discussion of the important principle of the Gemara brings here, called Ol Yim Ol LaChalitza, called She'en Ol Yim Ol LaChalitza. The meaning that it had, just the Pashup shot in our Sugya, is whoever has a Zikas Yibam has a Chiyub. Chalitza if they don't want to do Yibam. But whoever doesn't have a Zikas Yibam, there's no like a separate independent mitzvah of Chalitza. If you don't have a Zika, then you don't have Chalitza. Chalitza is if you have a Zika of Yibam to end that. If you're Pater, then you're Pater and Chalitza also. And that's the example of Erva. And the only question we got into last time was, you know, how to resolve the Gemara, the case of Chavi Lav and the Hav Mina. In the end, Chavi Lav do Yibam on the Doraisa level, Chavi Lav Vasei. Right? How can there some cases seem to be Pater Legamri from Yivam and still Chayiv and Chalitza? So, we had different approaches. The Rambam says, no, Pater Yivam doesn't Mafki the Zika. Only the Arayis Mafki the Zika, because that takes away the Tfisa's Kedusha. Or the Meiri and the Rivam Tos Rosh says, Taka, of course, whenever you're not supposed to do Yivam, that is Mafki the Zika, that's only Chalitza Drabban and Zegzera. Or Tosos said, you know, we're not sure exactly this ends up in Lamdas, but he said, really, you would think there wouldn't be chalitza, there's special gzeres akasav, maybe unique case. Okay, what I want to deal with today is, you know, is there, look at all the gemaras, which bring down this klal of kolol yimola chalitza, and see if there is, you know, maybe some of the achronim suggests some level of two levels or tvei dinim of this klal. Because in our gemara, what it means is that whoever is, you know, basically is pater, meaning if you have no zikas yibam, then you're pater from chalitza. And if you're pater from chalitza, that means materis l'shuk, you can go marry whoever you want, right? You're pater l'gamri. This is the what it means that gimel and aleph and erva is pter from yibam. So she's pur from chalitza. That's also what it means on, right? The Masorah Shas here tells us all of the places this klal appears in the Masechet. Okay, in this fancy one here, we have an example of progress being regress, right? The old days, the Masorah Shas was right on the side. Now you have to look up, you know, the letter in the top right corner, or top inside corner rather, which for some reason they consider to be progress. But it tells us also found the Afchaf Amin Aleph. The Afchaf Amin Aleph was the same exact case as we have here. It was talking about how, for Arayos, you can't say that they do Chalitza, because, since they are, Chayvei Krisa, since they're not Olah Yibam, they're not Olah Chalitza. Likewise, this is the way in which it's used in the Gemara on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, what did the Gemara say there? The Gemara says, how do we know that you only meet if the brother has two wives. Nothing to do with the erva. Regular two wives, right? Your brother dies without kids. He has two wives. How do we not miyavim both of them? Okay, so we darshan that we're only miyavim one of them. Okay, once you miyavim the first one, so you potter from miyavim the other ones. But maybe the other ones need chalitza. Say no, kol yibam al chalitza. The first wife, one wife, it needs yibam. So one wife needs chalitza. Once you did one wife, the second wife doesn't need any yibam. The zika's gone. You've already done your mitzvah. So it's potter from chalitza also. So this is, you know, acharei yibam tsarasa. After miyabim one tsara, the other tsara is pater legamri from yibam, so it's pater from chalitza. She's free to go. The parsha is over. Okay. The however, in two gemaras, it seems to be used in a slightly different sense. In two gemaras, it's used in a slightly different sense, and that is the near the beginning of Perka Choletz. One is Me'uberes, and the at least certainly seems to, and the other is Gimel Chadashim. Right? Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. What do we see there? Okay, that's the whole Shach Matari by Rava there. But what do they say here? That if you hold Bias Me'uberes, doesn't count. Right? Meaning, right, what's the din of Me'uberes? So, if the brother dies and he leaves a wife who's pregnant, and the wife Taka has a kid, then there's a tour from everything because he has kids, right? No problem. If he leaves a wife who's pregnant and she miscarries, and then you want to know what to do. That's Xeris Agassa. Vein ain lo ayin a love. That if it's in limbo here, there's a kid in utero, you have to be my ayin and see what happens. So if in the end she miscarries, then there's a chi of yibam. The interesting question is, what about until, right, she miscarries? Right, so if he does yibam or chalitza, and then it turns out she has a live kid, then of course his yibam or chalitza doesn't count because there were kids. What if he, in the end, she, that none of these are the interesting case. The case of Yochum Yishlach, there's a whole shaka batari there, which, you know, maybe we'll get to in greater depth one day. What if he does yibam or chalitza, and then she miscarries? So on the one hand, in the end, there's a chiv yibam or chalitza, but then wasn't the right time. So that's a whole machlokas, and we paskin that the yibam is not a valid yibam, the chalitza is not a valid chalitza. Right? We paskin, could be takizim chayiv chatas for the yibam, because it was not a valid yibam. Right? We paskin that since she was pregnant at the time, even though in the end she miscarried, the yibam's no good and the chalitza's no good. And the Gemara says there in Lamed Hayam and Beis, near the bottom, if I recall correctly, that Manashach, actually going even onto the top of the next daf, right? Technically, his words make it onto Lamed Vav, I think. Manashach, Yibiyas Mber Shema Biya Chalitza Mber Shema Chalitza, Yibiyas Mber Shlo Shema Biya Chalitza Mber Shnami Lo Shema Chalitza, Da Kaim Alon Dechol Olu Yimol Chalitza Vosha Eino Olu Yim Eino Olu Chalitza. Right, if the Biya counts, then the Chalitza would count. And if as we Paskin the Biya doesn't count, then we paskin the chalitza doesn't count. That's how we paskin if he did bia with the umu beris. He wasn't yotzei the mitzvah of yibam, even if she later on miscarried. And if he did, you know, he has to do it yibam again. And if he did chalitza, then she's not free to go, even if she miscarries later and needs another chalitza. So now this seems to be a little different. What are we saying? We're not saying that she's free to go. She doesn't need anything. Taka, she has a Zika, right? She's not going to just marry whoever she wants. She has to wait to see if she gives birth. In the end, she miscarried. In the end, she has a chivim machalitza. It's just that you did it at the wrong time. So what it sounds like from this Gemara is that there is Zika, but if you are not able to do yibam now, you're not able to do chalitza now, right? There is a zika. Taka, this woman, she has to wait and see what happens, and in the end, is going to have to give more chalitza. But since right now you weren't allowed to do yibam, therefore you're also not allowed to do chalitza. And this comes up very clearly in the last Gemara, which is my mouth of days. What is my mouth and base talking about? What case? What? Exactly. Toch Gimel Chadashim. Right, we all know that Mishnah is actually relevant not just to Yibam. First of all, this is Halacha L'maisa. We Ashkenazim don't do Yibam anymore. Even most Sephardim nowadays not so common to Yibam. But Halacha L'maisa, this is not Maisa B'chol Yom, but, unfortunately, Maisim once in a while, if a woman's husband died to that kid, she has to do Chalitza. So, she has to wait 92 days before she does chalitza. Ma'isim v'chol yom, this is what happens. She comes 92 days later, and that's when she does chalitza. She can't do chalitza right away. Maybe she'd like to get it over with right away. She might be happier if she could do chalitza right away. Because Mela, she's sitting Shiva now, and everything's so mavolvol now, so get rid of all the bad feelings. But no. All right, the way it works out is that she has to come back 92 days later and, reawaken the bad feelings a little. All right, maybe it's for the best. But that's what happens. So she has to wait. Why does she have to wait? Why does she have to wait? Wait, we paskin. Why can't she do even more chalitza right away? Obviously. Because she might be pregnant, right? That's the same reason as anyone has to wait between husbands, right? Because she might be pregnant, you want to know who the father is. So in this case, she might be pregnant, you want to know if she needs yibam or doesn't need yibam.
But even in the case of Katana, you have to wait for 3 months no matter what.
Correct, that's what the Gemara says. You have to wait 3 months no matter what. Because they made a general gzeira, they made a low plug. Right, the Chazal backed up their words. They didn't want anyone finding excuses. So like many other areas, Chazal backed up the words and made a absolute low plug. We'll have to figure out exactly the nature of that low plug. Maybe we'll be choker in the nature of that low plug, Be'ezrus Hashem, in a few moments. But What did the Gemara say? Obviously, she can't do Yibam within those 3 months. Why is it obvious she can't do Yibam within those 3 months? Because if it turns out that she's pregnant, then Taka, she wasn't allowed to do Yibam, and they'll be doing a big Avera. But she even can't, why can't she do Chalitza during those 3 months? So you might say, Mimanashach. You know, if she turns out to be pregnant, then we'll worry about it. But let's do Chalitza. Probably she's not pregnant, then you'll be Yotze. Right? So why can't they at least try to do Chalitza? So the Gemara says there, because there's an Isser to do, the Chazal word goes there. She's not allowed to do Yibam for 3 months. Since Chazal word goes there, she's not allowed to do Yibam, she's also not allowed to do Chalitza. Now, clearly she has a Zika here, right? Meaning she's not allowed to get married in the Shuk. She always has the Zika on her. It's just because of Sveikos there, and it takes time to figure out your status, therefore Chazal made Xera on her. So what this seems to say is that there's a second level as well, if we were to ask, you know, what's the nature of these two dinim. There seems to be one din, one level, which is a din in the Zika, right? There's one din in the Zika. That's where we started in our Gemara. If you have to do Yibam, then you have to do Chalitza if you don't want to do Yibam. But if you don't have to do Yibam, then there's no independent Zika to do Chalitza. However, what this seems to be saying is that Taka, there is a Zika Yibam, there is a Zika La Chalitza. But nonetheless, if you can't do Yibam, you can't do Chalitza. What's the Svara here? L'chora, the Svara here is that these two Sogdim Yachadish to us, din in the Maisa Chalitza. What do I mean? Here is a rule that there's no need for Chalitza if you're Pater from Yibam. Anyone is Pater from Yibam, there's no need for Chalitza. That's going on in our Sogya. But, and later on, L'chora, she is Chayiv in Yibam. She just has an Isser Darabanan, an Aryeh to Isser Darabanan stopping her. This seems to be, Pashup Shat, is a din in the Maisa Chalitza. What's the din in the Maisa Chalitza? What I'm trying to say is that, and this is what, who makes the, two of the Achronim are famous, two of the modern day Achronim, for being mefalpel in the nature of these Svei Dinim, the two people I put in brackets, the Baal Makoros, Rav Chana is mefalpel in this in great length in Siman Hey, and the Shut Onig Yontif in Kofayin Zayin. Din in the Maisa Chalitza, what does this mean? A chalitza, which didn't have the option of yibam, is not valid. Doesn't matter. It's not a matter of ptur v'fiyuv. It's a matter of the maisa chalitza. Why? Because what is the maisa chalitza ultimately? Ultimately, what is the man doing in a maisa chalitza? What's the yavam doing? He is refusing to do Yibam, right? Right? And lo yachbo to ish lakasti vimto, but also vimto asharim, what's he probably say? Me'ein yivami, right? Lo chafatsi lakachta. So you could say, maybe the chiddush these sugyas is, that there's another din, besides the who's chayiv and who's pater, and who has a zika and who doesn't. There's another din. It's only a real chalitza when I'm choosing not to do Yibam. If I choose not to, I could have done Yibam, but I don't want to, that's a chalitza. But if I'm not making a choice anyway, that's not a valid chalitza, because a valid chalitza has to be the guy deciding he doesn't want to do Yibam. But if he couldn't have done Yibam anyway, then that's not a valid chalitza. That seems to be the chiddush of this sugya. That certainly, at first glance, this is the way some of the achronim that I mentioned take the sugya. That besides the din, that some people are potter from chalitza, some people are chayiv, then to do chalitza, you have to be able to do Yibam. So if I can't do Yibam for 90 days, I can't do chalitza for 90 days. Right? I have to wait until I can do Yibam, then I can really do a proper chalitza, which is saying that I thought about Yibam, but I don't want to. Now, yeah?
On the other hand, you have the Tepanthor Ben Kam that you can't be married to more than one wife. Right? That's the Rabbanan. Oh, so there you would have a problem that you can't do Yibam, so how can you do chalitza?
Okay, so that is a very interesting question. There's actually some deer in the Achronim, which I didn't quote here, as to, you know, whether, let's say there are two living brothers. One is married and one is single. So maybe, let's say the younger one's single. Maybe it's better, usually it's with a go. Maybe it's better for the younger one to do chalitza because he could have done Yibam. Now, that's on the level of better than. Everyone agrees you can do chalitza, even if you have a chirin b'mei gerushim. So now the truth is, many rishonim and achronim assume that you're allowed to do yibum also after chirin b'mei gerushim. But the Ramah says that he wasn't gozer makom yibum. But that's not our minhag. So Taka, that is a good question, which we'll have to see if we can address. Why doesn't chirin b'mei gerushim bother anyone the way Takana Drabon in 90 days bothers us, so why doesn't Chayim Durei Gershon bother us is a good question.
In the Sugya Lamed Hey, that file is essentially my focus on the Bayan Rav, and the Rav is the one who invokes the file against the Bayan.
Correct, but that's how we paskin, so that's why I'm bringing it down.
That
perhaps the Machlokes the Bayan Rav, whether it extended to the second dinner or not. Very good.
Isn't Machlokes in those 2 days in Tosfos, and it's Machlokes in Chavar and Rav? Whether or not Bidyev, if you did within 3 months, then Bidyev would be good.
Okay. So, good. Hold that thought. I'm going to attack a slightly different lashon. Starting with lachachil and b'dieved. The first question we have to ask ourselves: this second din, is it d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Which again might very well, I'll be pashas, correspond to lachachila and b'dieved. Is this a din d'oraisa, or is this a din d'rabbanan? This clearly. This first din, clearly that's a din d'oraisa. That's obvious. Why is it obvious that it's a din d'oraisa? Because, first of all, I guess we dash it from the psukim. But that never proves anything. Sometimes that's the psukim, it's not smach, though. Because it works the kula, right? Here's a woman whose husband died without kids, and she can marry in the shuk, because she's a tsaris erva. So obviously it's a kula. It's letting her go and marry whoever she wants and exempting her from chalitza. So obviously that's a din d'oraisa. Is this din, the din of the Maisa Chalitza, is that a din d'oraisa? That means d'oraisa, Maisa Chalitza, is only valid if, and l'chor then would be even b'dieved, if it's a alternative to Yibam? Or is this only a Chomer Drabana? In which case it may very well be. That's how we might, well, complicated. Is this din d'oraisa or a din Drabana? So, Medayik in the Oneg Yontif is reads very, very Meduyak. And is medayik in Rashi the way you would not be medayik if you read him once. You have to read Rashi twice in order to get this diuk. Mem aleph amid beis. I mean, he's not the only one medayik in Rashi. I saw the Tosfos Yontif al Atar in that Mishnah also. Mem aleph amid beis, Rashi dibur maskul hari ketana. Right? Hilkach lo chalta. What does the Gemara say? It's an absolute rule that no one, it's not just if you're pregnant, we don't know. If it's a matter, if we don't know, we say, well, then if Eliyahu Navi come and told us the truth, it would be okay. Then you're considered all the evil. No, absolutely no one can ever do even within 90 days. So, Zag Rashi, Hilkach lo chalta, in the fourth white line, towards the end, Chol Hanach, Amar Rav Chol Tzlomos Yabnos, right, says, hold on a second. What are all the cases where we say, Chol Letz V'Einim B'Sef Emes? How is that a valid chalitza? She couldn't do yibam. How is that a valid chalitza? So he answers, kigon achos chalutzaso, ba'achos zikukaso. Right, achos chalutzaso. Let's say I was chulit one sister, and then, coincidentally, her sister fell before me from a different brother. So midraban, and I'm not allowed to marry her. So I do chalitza. Oh, but I'm not allowed to marry her. Achos zikukaso. If two brothers die, and two sisters end up coming before me for yibam, so each one of them is a sister of my Zakuka. So midrabanan, Rashi assumes. It's also usher to marry either of them, so I do chalitza. That's also. If it's usher to marry, how can you do chalitza? And suffix tzaris erva. It's a case of suffix tzaris erva, alpi rules of chazaka, we would say she's not a tzaris erva, and I'm allowed to be miyavim her. But midrabanan, we say, b'makom suffix, we're machver, and we treat her as suffix isri yibam. So midrabanan, she's usher to be miyavim, and I'm allowed to be cholates. Doesn't that violate this rule? So, hasami shum delo efsheru. No, in those cases we're makel because we don't have a choice. Meaning, by the 90 days, by the muberes, by the 90 days, is it such a big deal to be machmir? No, it's just till the situation passes, right? 90 days. All right, so you're machmir 90 days. Not the end of the world. But over there, it would be forever, right? Then she'd be in agona. Hilkach, so basically Rashi is saying, she's going to be in agona, what are we going to say? She can't never do chalitza and she has to be in agona. Hilkach, he came to be the oraisa bas yibam he chalitza. Since in all these cases, me the oraisa, she's allowed to do yibam. Therefore, it's only me the rabbanan she can't do yibam. Therefore, they were makel bakum igun Over here, it's better to wait and do it in the best way. But over there, the Rabbanim were Mako, because really, midoraisa, she could do Yibam. Now, I'll contrast that with the Ritva. This is the Onig Yontif Sa'ara. If you contrast that with the Ritva says, and then you'll tell me the difference between them. The Ritva says, right here in the same piece, let me just find it. One second. Yeah. The Hassan Lefi, Ka'achos Chalutzah Achzuchuka, the Isser Mitzvah, Isser Kedusha, the Chaven, the Ma'agnes, the Olam Cholzlom Ziavnos, these cases of Achos Chalutzah Achzuchuka, Isser Mitzvah, Isser Kedusha, since there would be Agunas forever, therefore we're Mekel, and we let them do Chalitzah, even though they can't do Yivam. V'lo Omrim Chom Kol Shein Ol Yivim Elo Chalitzah, V'le Roshinan Be Samach. Okay. What's the difference between the Ritva and this is Agabor? The Ritva and Rashi. The Rashi says, these cases, since midoraisa, they can do yibam. Therefore, we're only dealing with the drabanan here, and b'mokam igun, we're not machir. The Ritva says, in all the cases where you can't do yibam forever, b'mokam igun, we're not machir. What's the difference between them, Rashi and the Ritva? Anyone? Okay. What does Rashi say? Rashi says we're making makam igun because it's only drabanan. Why does Rashi say it's only drabanan? What did Rashi add? Did Rashi say it's only drabanan because this principle is only drabanan? Is that what he said?
Okay.
He said because it's ain't only yibam, it's ain't only yibam drabanan. Basically, what's Rashi implying? Rashi's saying that ain't no ole liyibam mi drabanan is eina ola lachalitza midrabanan, and therefore lo gazru bimakom igun. But fill in the but what if she's only puzzled from yibon? She's only if there's only nisidrabanan in yibon, there's only nisidrabanan in chalitza. So makom yibon, they weren't gozer, but.
If it had been midoraisa,
ain't a misyabemes, right? Why does Rashi have to end in minator bas yibami? Sounds like, but if midoraisa, she would be not bas yibam then. Exactly. What's the diuk? The diuk is if she was ain't a ola liyibam min hatorah, then she would be ain't a ola lachalitza Minatora. So Rashi, the diyuk from Rashi is that sure, in a case like Achas Zukukasu and Achas Chalutzasu and Suffix Saris Erva, you have to look at the Mishnah 10 blad ago in the Gemara and understand Suffix Saris Erva is only Rabbanan, because talking about a case that is Cheskes Heter, Midarais and Rabbanan goes from Suffix. If it starts as a Drabbanan Isser Yibam, then of course it's a Drabbanan Isser Chalitza. But if it starts as Daraisa Isser Yibam, then midoraisa chalitza would be puzzled, and then you'd be stuck. As opposed to the Ritva, so Rashi thinks that this is a din deoraisa. Rashi thinks this is a din deoraisa if it starts with an Isser Yibam deoraisa. Obviously, if the whole reason you can't do Yibam is drabanan, this can't be a din deoraisa. But the principle is midoraisa. There's a daraisa principle that if you can't do yibam, then you can't do chalitza. However, and maybe that would explain mu'uberis. That would be a daraisa principle. Of course, when the only reason you can't do yibam is midorabanan, then it becomes a darabanan principle, a darabanan application. As opposed to the Ritva, because what does the Ritva say? The Ritva says, he doesn't say anything about being about yibam midoraisa. He says, achos chalutza v'achos kuka v'isser mitzvah v'isser kedusha. What are Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha? So, right, Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha includes even Amon Lekohen Gadol, which is Asur Midoraisa. Right? So Isser Mitzvah, Isser Kedusha includes even Isserim Doraisa. So what does the Ritva sound like? The Ritva sounds like any Eina Ole Liyibum is only Eina Ole Lachalitza Midrabanan, and therefore Lo Gazru Bimakum Igun. They're saying almost the same thing. They're both saying, it's only Drabanan Lo Gazru Bimakum Igun, but they're really saying two totally different things. The Ritva says that this whole principle is midrabanan. The Ritva says, in any case you're going to apply this principle, it's only drabanan. On daf gimel and daf chaf, it was then daf emdal, it was the raisa. Yeah, that's the principle of the Torzika. That, of course, that's the raisa principle. We're talking about the principle that the maisa chalitza is possible if it wasn't a good option, if you didn't have an option before you. If you weren't making an honest choice, then you're not allowed to do chalitza. That principle, the Ritva says, is only drabanan. While Rashi, here in Daif and his Lashon, as the Tosfos Yontif and the Oneg Yontif, coincidence, are Medayik. Rashi saying that no, Taka, if it's Eino Ola Midoraisa, then it's Eino Ola Chalitza Midoraisa. And it's only Eino Ola Midorabanan, it's Eino Ola Chalitza Midorabanan. So we seem to have so far two machlokes, two deos. The Ritva saying that this is the whole thing is an invention of the Rabbanan. It's an invention of the Rabbanan. They thought you shouldn't do Chalitza if you can't do Yibam. At least, you know, if Shalom Makom Igun, at least if it's not going to be a hardship. That thing in Rabbanan invented this whole idea. They said, Pasnish, it's better to do Chalitza when you could have done Yibam. Pasnish, do Chalitza when you couldn't do Yibam. That's an invention of the Rabbanan. Well, for Rashi, no, this is the principle of Midoraisa. Any Chalitza that's not a live option of refusing, that's not a real a significant decision against Yibam is possible midoraisa. Of course, if the Isra Yibam was deraisa, possible midoraisa. If the Isra Yibam was derabanan, it's only derabanan.
Is chalitza even Yibam? Is it Yibam?
Chalitza is not Yibam, but lichora.
Sounds like according to Rashi, it's.
What you're saying is according to Rashi. So you bring up a very, very big lumbus here. Sounds like according to Rashi, Chalitza is more about not doing Yibam. Well, according to the Ritva, no. On the Doraisa level, maybe Chalitza is just a matir. So what you're saying is that it's a very, very good Ha'ara, which I didn't want to get into yet, but one of the classic sort of Chakiras about Chalitza is Chalitza sort of, you know, like Yibam Sovet, as it were, right? Chalitza is like the lower level Yibam, what to do to take care of this mitzvah, or is Chalitza like Gerus, like you get? It's a way to erase the bonds and move on with your life without doing anything. So, it could very well be that that's the soul of the machlokes in the Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi sees Yibam more as Chalitza is Chalitza mitzvah Yibam. Therefore, if you couldn't have done Yibam, you can't do Chalitza. While the Ritva sees Chalitza more as a matir bi'alma. Therefore, you can always do it. Just draw a bottom or machmer. It's a very, very good ha'ara, which we'll have to come back to, Meretz Hashem, later in the year. That's an excellent ha'ara. Now, of course, either way, what would you say about the following case? Whether you held, like Rashi or the Ritva, that this is Dindor Abanon or this is Dindor Raisa, what would you say about the following case? It's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, we paskin, what if a Yavama, she does the wrong thing. What if she does the wrong thing? So instead of waiting for Chalitza or Yibam, she marries someone else. So it depends what we mean by marry. If marry means Nisuin and Bia, she sleeps with someone else, then that's a mission later on. Then forget it. What do you mean? She slept with someone else? Then she becomes Asur Baal, Asur Boel, that is 13 Knossos, and she gets she's Asur in everything. She gets a ton of punishments. Okay, that's not worth discussing. What if she just accepts Kiddushin from someone else? She just niskadeshes to someone else, then she didn't do any Averos, right? She just niskadeshes to someone else. Is the Kiddushin toe-faced or not? So, it's a big machlokas later on. We pass him where Mesopak. So we pass him where Choshesh the Kiddushin are toasting, meaning if a Yavama, right? Here's the Yavama. The Yavama accepted a ring from someone else, then can the Yavama do Yivam now? Is the Yavam allowed to do Yibam right now?
For sure.
For sure not, because it would be the Avera of?
We should say
Eishes Ish, right? So what happens? The Yavama marries someone else. So, it's Eishes Ish. Of course he can't do Yavam. So what does he do? So he says, well, maybe she'll divorce, the other guy will divorce her and then he'll do Yavam, right? Or maybe he'll do Chalitza. Okay, the interesting question is, can he do Chalitza? After all, now clearly there's a Zika. There's a Zika. She's not allowed to marry, stay with the other guy. She has to go back to the Yavam for Yivam or Chalitza. She's a mitzvah of Yivam or Chalitza. They are in the wrong for doing this Kiddushin. But can she do Chalitza as is, even though there's no possibility of Yivam? Or does she need a get and then do Chalitza? Right? So this is very, very unclear. What would you say? What would you say? The Yavama takes a ring from someone else, and they're not interested in Yivam anyway, right? Not interested in Yivam anyway. The Yavam doesn't want to do Yivam. The Yavama doesn't want to do Yivam. But she accidentally takes a ring from someone else before waiting for Chalitza. So are you allowed to do Chalitza as is? Or do you have to get divorced first? What would you think, based on the Gemara that we saw? Daf Mem Aleph. What would you think? Do you think she needs a get before she does Chalitza? This is a big machlokes poskim that I quoted to you. I don't even know if I can say summarized at a great length in the Pesachei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer. So what about the case of a Yevama Shiniskadsha Lazar? The reason, again, just side point, the reason we keep using the example of Yevama who is mikudeshes to a Zar and not who actually like married and slept with a Zar, because if she slept with a Zar, then he has to divorce her anyway because they're us or each other forever. So like, there's no interesting enough gemeins. The question, the Kodesh is to this Tsar, so they didn't do any Aviros, maybe they're allowed to live happily ever after. Question is, do they do Chalitza and live happily ever after, or do they get divorced, do Chalitza and they get remarried and live happily ever after? So, what would we think? We would think that, can she do Chalitza without a get? We would think, forget about the Raisa Drabanan, right? There's not a book of Igun. There's no Igun here. Right? Let her get a get. Let's assume that it's possible for her to receive a get, right? So we would assume, we would think, no, she can't do Chalitza because since she can't do Yibam, he can't do Yibam because of Eishes Ish, so it's not a real Chalitza. That is, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes, this is the opinion of the Levush, of the Knesset Yechezkel, and some Achronim say, that's the opinion of the Mechaber, who's quoting the Rambam. The Mechaber is quoting the Rambam. He keeps mentioning receiving a get without specifying like what would happen in every scenario. But anyways, talks about she receives a get and then does Chalitza. So maybe the Mechaber, quoting the Rambam, that's what a few Achronim think, right? There's some debate because Bechuva may have mentioned the Achronim argued, did the Rambam mean it? Did he not mean it? But maybe they hold. And then that makes a lot of sense. That makes perfect sense. However, what's the however? Who's the however? Right? Who's the however? What did the Ramah say? The Ramah says that if she did this on purpose, she accepted the Kiddushin and didn't do the right thing, then she should get divorced from this guy and then do Chalitza. But if she was innocent, let's say she just didn't know. You know, she didn't know that there was a Yiba. Maybe she didn't know there was a brother. Right? Then, really, there's no need to put a Knas on her. Then Tanka, she can do Chalitza right there. She doesn't have to get divorced from the other guy. Let her stay with the other guy, Bo'osher, Bo'osher, Ameh, Ve'esrim, and do Chalitza while she's married. So the Ramah says that she can do Chalitza while married. Yeah, again, if she's not deserving of a Knas, he admits, if she didn't amaze it, then we would, you know, make her get divorced before she did a Chalitza. But if she did a Beshogeg, then of course. And this is what all the Achronim are tama on the Ramah. Right? All the Achronim have a big problem with Ramah. The problem is, that's against the Gemara in Mem Aleph Amud Beis. What do we learn from the Gemara? That even if you have a zika, during the time you can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza. You have to wait till you can do yibum. So right now, she's married, she can't do yibum, she can't do chalitza. She has to wait till she receives a get. So, what's the svara of the Ramah? So what's pshat in the Ramah? Why did the Ramah allow this? Right, the Ramah is based on the Rush. Okay, why does he allow this? So, in the Pesach Tshuva, he quotes from the Shav Yaakov, who wants to give an explanation that it's based on the Tosafot Daf Tzayin, but not such a poshut explanation. Not at all such a poshut explanation. The Shav Yaakov wants to say that in this case, he really can do Yibam. He wants to say, the Ramah is not so radical. Right? Says that the Ramah agrees with the principle. The Ramah agrees with the principle that anyone who can't do Yibam, it's not valid if they do Chalitza. Right? That, at least on the Drabana level, right? At least in Chachila. Right? Anyone who can't do Yibam is not allowed to do Chalitza. But this case is called Ole LeYibam. Over here, he can do Yibam. He just says, this is a case where he can do Yibam. Oh, whoever heard you can do Yibam to an Ish's Ish? So he answers, apparently the Shav Yaakov has a very, apparently he's never been in court, the Shav Yaakov, because he has a very rosy view of the workings of these things. What does he say? He says, what do you know, Yibam? Of course it's only Yibam. I can do Yibam right now. Why?
Give her again.
Well, it's not up to me.
Nobody could.
But I could sue him and force him to give a get. Al-Bidin, I can make him give a get, right? Think of this guy is Makadish Mayavama. He interfered with the mitzvah to save Yibam. I could take him to Bezdin and say, look, you have to give a get, because I have a mitzvah to save Yibam and you don't, so you have to give a get. So he says, therefore, I could sue him and make him give a get. So that's called Ole LeYibam. That's Ole LeYibam. What do you mean? You mean if I'm in France and she's in Germany, it's not Ole LeYibam because I have to take a train for an hour? Obviously, if you could just do a little thing and do Yibam, that's called Ole LeYibam. Right? So this is called Ole LeYibam because all I have to do is walk into court and he'll come in and the Bezdin will tell him to give a get, he'll write a get, and that's fine and I'll be ready to do Yibam. So, Ole LeYibam because the Yavam, can force him to give a get. That's called Ole LeYibam, because I can force, it's in my hands to force him to give a get, so I can do Yibam. All I have to do is walk into court and it'll all work out. Okay, some of the other Achronim say they're not so convinced of this Hasbir, because maybe some of the other Achronim have been in court once or twice. And it's sometimes easier said than done. You know, it depends. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little. Stamla Shav Yaakov also has been in court, at least as a judge. But he wore his halachic glasses. He says, you know what? Al pi halacha, it's Ole LeYibam, because al pi halacha, I have the right to make him give a get immediately. The other Achronim say, no. Let's be realistic about this. Just because I have the right to do something, and first of all, there were even a suffolk whether it really works so well in court. Really? I can force him to give a get? Maybe I can only encourage him to give a get. But even if I can, they said, look, that's not so posh. You all know, you can't just take someone to court. Maybe they'll show up in court, maybe they'll run away. And if they show up in court, maybe they'll listen, and maybe they won't listen. It's not so posh that just because I have the right in Bezdin to win a case, that I have the money in, right? Everyone knows. Someone says, I have the right to win $1 million in Bezdin. They're not a millionaire quite yet. You know, the odds are they'll never see that money just because they have the right in Bezdin. So here also, it's not always so pasha that you can say that I can do it because I can force someone else in court to help me, to take away the obstacle, because it doesn't always work that way. You can run away, they're going to say. So this is an interesting answer to Shav Yaakov, but not so pasha. Because that really called Ole LeYibam, like I could do Yibam, just because legally I can force a get, but practically I don't know if I can.
But there are cases like that with Kavan Lachla, by someone, whether he can eat like a chicken pay, you say he could be mocked your own.
Yeah, but that's beyond that. He doesn't have to force anyone else to do
something. No, but I mean the concept, nobody's going to go do that. It's not.
Okay, but
you
still
say he could do it.
But still, there's a big difference in what I could do with the prerequisites versus I could sue you and force you to do the prerequisites. Not many places in Shas where we consider something biyadi, because I could force you to do the prerequisite that will let me do it. Usually, biyado, it has to be totally up to me. Not it's up to you, but I can sue you and invest it. That's a big fish.
Why would we say that the Zika prevents the Kedushin?
Ah, that is Taka, the Machlokas, whether or not Zika prevents the Kedushin. And we paskin, the Suffolk, that Rechoshesh, the Zika doesn't prevent the Kedushin. What lumdus, right? You're continuing along the line of the tradition of throwing in very, very fundamental lumdus of the whole Masechet this morning. What you're saying is that might depend what Zika really means, right? If Zika means there's a chiyav asay to do a chesed and be a nice guy to the dead brother, then maybe it shouldn't prevent kiddushin. It's very nice. It's a chiyav asay that we should be nice guys, but that doesn't prevent kiddushin. If Zika really means that the ishus of the dead brother is still alive and I've inherited it, then maybe it should be ma'akiv kiddushin. Maybe that's gufa, the machlokis here. But that's already going to have to be for another day.
Is there any fundamental distinction between the Shev Yaakov's definition of what old evil means? It's essentially biyado, which is something you have to do to get there, versus the cases in the Gemara where you, with the Muveret and with the Gemara, you just have to wait a little bit, but essentially...
So apparently what he thinks is that waiting a little bit, that's not old evil. I mean, no one can make time go faster, but here I can do a chick-chock. It's interesting. He considered this... You would, right? Anyone realistically would have said... Waiting 90 days is a lot easier than forcing someone to give a get in Beis Din. But he thinks, no, he wears his halachic glasses. He says, waiting 90 days, that's absolutely out of my hands for 90 days. I'm mufka for 90 days. But forcing him in Beis Din, trick check, I'll do it today, I'll do it this afternoon. What's the problem? I'll go up to the shower, this Kenya will be there. No problem. So you're right, from a practical perspective, you're telling me this is more biyado than waiting 90 days? You know, no one's going to get anything in less than 90 days, that's for sure, right? Nowadays, you're lucky if you get something in 90 years. But even the old days, you know, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, but that's a valid time. All right, what's the other option? So.
Is the Yavama do Chalitza with the Yavama, she's Anita, or does she?
So that was a discussion that we saw in the rush, the toaster rush here. We paskin that. He is allowed to do Chalitza if she's Anita. Which, again, you can ask why. Not all will we give him right now. But here the Rosh answers, that taka is biyada. He says, she's only to tovel that apparently unlike the 90 days, which is, you know, you have to wait a fixed amount of time, here she's going to tovel, I guess, very soon. But I hear you're tight. We come back to that. Meaning you're saying, really? What if she has to wait 7 days? What's between 7 and 90? That's an ekroni difference. So... I guess if you want to, you could say, the 90 days, that's, not Ola, because that's, a long time. Well, just till she's sober is not such a big deal. But you're right. I think we'll come back to that. So, what's another way of defending the Ramah? Right? The Beis Meir, the Pesach Teshuva mentioned here, the Beis Meir has a long arichos about it. He has other answers. I'm not going to go through all those answers, but I can show them if you want. It's like every other sefer. It's on HebrewBooks.org. I don't know if it's in the base. We have a base mayor and a base medrash, I'm not sure. But in any case, everything's on the internet. So I think this is what he means, although I'm going to say it in very different words. All right, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe the way to defend the Ramah is to say no. That's one option. Or maybe this is the base mayor. What he's saying? The Ramah denies this principle. Or... Right. Let's call this the base mayor. I'll mention exactly what words he uses. Maybe the Ramah denies this principle. As long as there is Zika, an obstacle to Yibam doesn't prevent chalitza. Maybe he denies the second principle. The Ramah will say, not midorais, not midorabanan. It doesn't exist. There is no second principle. There's only a principle that, right, and this is the way the Mishnah says it. There's a principle that if the Torah says not to do yibum, then there's no chalitza. But if you create a situation where, you know, there's no yibum, then why shouldn't you do chalitza? That's not a basic din the Torah was goes there. That's just a situation. Just a situation. That doesn't prevent chalitza. There's no rule that the maisa chalitza has to be a real free choice and that you have to have two options before you and picked one to be called a chalitza. No, you can have a chalitza even if there is no option of yibum. You're allowed to have a chalitza even if He says not only if there's no option of Yibum until there's a get, even if there's never going to be an option of Yibum, if it just happens to work out that there's no option of Yibum, then you're still allowed to do Chalitza. So it could be the Ramah. Here is three ways of understanding the Sugya Daf Mem Aleph. Three is the Ramah. Maybe he says there is no new principle or new level of the principle here. Really, there is no rule that anyone who befoal, who practically can't do Yibum, practically can't do Chalitza. That was a misunderstanding. There's only a rule that whoever doesn't have a Zika Yibum doesn't have a Zika Chalitza. What does he do with these Gemaras? So, maybe you could say very easily what the Ramah would say, Buberis is pretty easy. That already, the Rosh and the Ritva and the Ramban, a lot of Rishonim say. Buberis is not just a practical problem, right? The problem with Buberis is not just a practical problem. Oh, I can't do Yibum because she might end up having a kid. No. Muberis, the Torah says, Bein Ein Lo, the drush of Ein Lo is Ayin, a love, meaning it's a drush to Oraisa, that even a fetus counts as a kid to be Mafkia Yibum. So maybe what the Ramo would say is that Muberis has no Zika at all. Who says a Muberis just has Zika, but she's not like, a Muberis has no Zika at all. Why does she have no Zika at all? Because she has a kid inside. Oh, who knows? Later it might change, right? Maybe later a Zika will start. And it's okay for the Zika to start later. It's still darkly known just to wait to see if she has a baby or not. But a Muberis doesn't have any Zika at all. A Muberis is Eishes Achiv Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. There's no mitzvah at all for a Muberis. There's no mitzvah. That's what I mean by no Zika, right? It's not that she has a side problem. A Muberis has no mitzvah Yibum at all because she has a kid now. We don't know what will happen in 9 months, but right now she has a kid, has no Zika at all, meaning there's no mitzvah Yibum because he has a ben. Not a real ben, an in utero ben, but that's the Xeris HaKasuf, that as long as the in utero ben is still, you know, there, then he patches her from Yibum.
If you hold that far, then why should it ever come back later on? If it's one piece of the office,
why should it ever come back later on? So I'll give you two answers. One answer is based on one day in Tosfos Bavli Beis Amin Aleph, because really, really Zika can start later on as long as it's not a problem with Darkly Noam. And here, it's not a problem with Darkly Noam. You just see how the pregnancy develops. Right? So, one, I'll answer you that it's okay for the Zika to come later on as long as it's not E Darkly Noam. And here, it's not E Darkly Noam. My second answer will be, that's the exemption because of Ayin Olav. Even if you hold the Zika, it can never start later on. Here it can start later on, because the special difference of Ayin Olav means the Eon, Tzorech Eon, that we can decide what happens later. So that doesn't bother me. Of course, the Toch Gimel Chadashim, I think, if my shot in the Ramah is correct, would have to make a more significant Chiddush. What would the Ramah have to say? Within 3 months, you're not going to tell me there's no Zika. Right? Within 3 months, of course there's Zika. There's just Xer Drabonim. Right? Within 3 months, the Xer Drabonim not to do Yibum. You're not going to tell me there's no mitzvah, there's no Zika. She certainly can't go and marry in the shuk. Maybe the Muberis, as long as she's pregnant, could go marry a stranger if she wanted. She has no Zika at all. I mean, it wouldn't be a good idea, because then she wouldn't know what to do next. But maybe theoretically she could. But clearly here it's only Xer Drabanan. How can you say there's no Zika? So I think what you might say is that there's two different ways of understanding this Xer Drabanan. Why were the Rabbanan Gozer? Not why. How were the Rabbanan Gozer? That she can't do Yibum within 3 months. You could say, there just goes there, she has to be choshe, she might be pregnant. But that's not necessarily what it sounds like in the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Even if she's a katana and she knows she's not pregnant, they made an absolute zero. Maybe what's the din? Maybe the chazal were goes there, that within 3 months, every woman has to treat herself as a mu'uberes, and midrabanan, they took away the zika. Meaning, this is not a regular iser. This is not a regular Isser, the Isser within 3 months. It's not like the Rabbanan had some problem, so they made an Isser for the Yibum within 3 months. No, within 3 months, it's not just an Isser. That's what I want to be mechadish here. It's not an Isser to do Yibum in 3 months. Because what's the problem in 3 months? The problem is she might be pregnant, and therefore Chazal declared she'll always treat herself as pregnant, and a pregnant person has no Zika. Within 3 months, he might have a kid. That's the point. And even if she's a katana, the Rabbanan word goes there, that within 3 months we view her as having a potential kid. So maybe you could say that the gzeira of Gimel Chadashim was to be mevatel the zika, of course only midrabanan, as if she was pregnant. That's the nature of the gzeira they made. So these two examples are not just side problems. Oh, there's a side problem. You can't do yibam. Since you can't do yibam, you can't do chalitza. No, the Rambam might say there's no such principle as if you have a problem with yibam, you have a problem with chalitza. These two gemaras are a lack of a mitzvah. Uberis has no mitzvah midoraisa. The mitzvah doesn't apply to her because she has an eon level ben. And Gimel Chadashim has a mitzvah midoraisa, of course, but on the Rabbanah level there's no mitzvah. Because they were dozer that it says if she has a ben on the Tzara Eon level, on the level of Ayin Olav. So if you want to be Chadash after Ramah, then we have, in fact, a very, very fundamental Chakira. To just be Marche for a few moments on this very fundamental Chakira, I will have to make myself a little more room on the board. But now we have a Chakira in, how do we understand, right, this case where there is Zika, but I can't do Yibam, you know, for some reason. Meaning, not the reason I can't do Yibam, because there's no need for a mitzvah. That's called no Zika, right? What if it's a side problem? So, what I'm claiming is that the Ramah would hold that, unless you say like the Shem Yaakov, but the Ramah would hold that that there's no principle preventing chalitza. There is no such principle. There's no din in the Maisa Chalitza, as opposed to the Levush and the Knesset Yechezkel, who would say, no, there's a psal in the Maisa Chalitza because it's not a choice. There is no choice to do Yibam. And then we said, if it is a psal, so Rashi would say, this is a psal min haTorah, at least if there's no Yibam min haTorah. And the Rishon would say, no, this principle is only made up as a psal midrabanan. But, so there may be some new principles of psal. You can't do a maisa chalitza if you didn't have a choice, either the rice or the rabbanan. Or there may be no such principle. There's only principle whoever doesn't have a zika is pater from chalitza. And of course, it makes no sense to do chalitza when you have no zika yet. How can you do chalitza when you have no zika yet? But there's no problem if it's just some side ikov. The nafgamina would be, nafgamina number one, would be niskancha, right? The Ramah says choletzes if she's niskancha. If we assume not like the answer of Shev Yaakov, while Levush and the Knesset Yechezkel would say that she is, you know, she is usher to do chalitza, right? And not ptura from chalitza, right? But it's usher for her to do chalitza meanwhile because she can't do yibam. What would be another case maybe where it seems there is a Zika, but Lamaisa he can't do Yibam? Someone imagine for me another case. There is a Zika, but Lamaisa he can't do Yibam. Some of these are controversial. One example might be, what about Almanas Melech? What if the Melech died without kids? If the Melech died without kids, can you do Yibam? Anyone? Why can't you do Yibam? Because Kavod HaMelech, because no one's allowed to use anything the Melech used, including his wife. Right? So no one's allowed to do Yibam. But why not Chalitza? So, the Rambam seems to say, in Hilchos Melacha, the Mishnah says, can't do Yibam and can't do Chalitza. So, if you assume there is such a principle, that whoever can't do Yibam can't do Chalitza, then the question is, why can't she do Chalitza? We know she can't do Chalitza. It's a Mishnah in the second part of Sanhedrin. So, you could say like the Rambam, because she can't do Yibam, right? That is at least Pashup Shah in the Rambam. Why can't she do chalitza? Because she pashu shat in the Rambam, right? Shat in the Rambam. Why can't she do chalitza? She can't do yibam. Meaning, taka she has a zika. L'chora, not l'chora. The Rambam says before, she's not gonna forever. I mean, she's not gonna forever either way. Because she can't marry anyone else. But she's bezika forever. The Rambam says Mefurish, she is bezika forever. She keeps her zika forever. She just has a zika and can't do yibam. Since she can't do yibam, she can't do chalitza. Because they're in the principle that whoever can't do yibam is a psal, is not a valid maisa chalitza. However, if you held, like we want to say in the Rambam, that, nah, if you have no zika, then there's no chalitza. But if you have a zika, then why not do chalitza? Then you would think that the Ashes Melech could do chalitza, because she has a zika. So you'd have to answer, right? You'd have to answer like the Kesef Mishnah. What did the Kesef Mishnah say? He says, why doesn't she do chalitza?
Bizayon.
The side reason is bizayon for the king's almana to take off someone's shoe. To be Zion, the king's almana should be taking off someone's shoe. That's bizayon. So he says that there's a, it's a bizayon for her to do chalitza, but it has nothing to do with ola liyibam. No, taka, the fact she can't do yibam wouldn't stop her from doing chalitza. There must be a different reason she can't do chalitza, because it's bizayon to take off a shoe. Another similar nafkamina might be the question of balas tanai. This we'll have to get into. So, the Rishonim Sfar discuss it on daf beis. We skipped it then. Tosos discuss it on daf yud. What about this crazy case, right? Who learned the last parak of Gittin? Right? A guy says to his wife, right? You're Megoresh Mani, Almanas, you don't marry Shimon. Kavali, she marries Reuven. They are brothers. And Reuven dies without kids. So is she allowed to do Yibam?
No.
Is she allowed to do Yibam with Shimon? Is Shimon allowed to be Miyabing her?
No.
No, because what will happen if Shimon's Miyabing her?
Yeah,
then Igloim Mos is still Ishizish, the first guy. And he'll be doing Ishizish. Right? So there's a whole machlokas whether there's Zika or not. But let's say if, you know, Lefi Manda Omar Sheyesh Zika. Right? Let's say the Manda Omar, there is a Zika here, right? The Rashba and others hold. Taka, she has a Zika. Taka, why does she have a Zika? Because really, there's nothing wrong with her right now. She's just the wife of Rumi who died without kids. It's just some crazy Tanai mechanism would make a problem if you did Yibo. Right, so some crazy Tanai would kill your Yibam. But right now she has Zika. We assume we'll have to see that. That's what the Rashba says. So, can she do Chalitza? So the Rashba says she can do Chalitza. The Rashba says she can do Chalitza. Why can she do Chalitza? The Rashba says, what do you mean do Chalitza? What about Kol Sheino Ol Yibam and Ol Chalitza? He says, nah, because over here it's just a side problem. He says she's not fundamentally Mufka from Yibam. Right? There's no fundamental rule that excludes her from Yibam. He just set up this weird Tanai, which makes it impossible for him to do Yibam, because the moment he does Yibam, he's marrying her. And if he's marrying her, then she was still married to a previous guy, and he's doing Ishish, and as a matter of fact, she was never his brother's wife. Right? Once he does Yibam, he's like, also, she's never his brother's wife anyway. She's still married to the first guy. Very weird case. So the Rashba says, this Rashba would fit very nicely with what we want to say in the Ramah. The Rashba says that she can do chalitza because it's only a side problem preventing Yibam. Right, that's the lashon of the Rashba right in the beginning of the Masechet. I will read it to you because it happens to be a very nice lashon if I can find it easily. He says, "Mestabrili dafilu bi atzma choletzes." What do you say? Even if there's two wives, you don't say, "Well, isn't it better to do chalitza with the other wife and not get it?" No, she can do chalitza perfectly fine, and not even if there's no egon, she can perfectly. It's perfectly lachilu to do chalitza. Why? There ain't any kori babzu kol shein ol yimei ol chalitza. Tibet tanan lo kamai rikrav lo mina leiser erva babzu she isu davar acher garm lolei aser. And it's no choletzel fishin mitzvemes. It's an issue of her acher. It's a side problem. This is not a fundamental tour from Yibam. This is a side problem that says she can't do Yibam. So, okay, the side problem says she can do Yibam. She can still do Chalitza just fine. L'chore, if you helped, like the other side of the Chakira, then you might go so far as to say, maybe she would have Zika and be usher in Chalitza. At least Shelo B'makom Igun, right? Again, B'makom Igun, that would depend on Machlokes Rashi and the Riffa, right? According to Rashi, since B'dor Raisa she can't do Yivam, or even B'makom Igun she couldn't do Chalitza. According to the Riffa, okay, so she couldn't do Chalitza if there's no Igun, but if there, let's say there are two wives, no Igun, do Chalitza with another wife, then the Rashi was clear, even if there's no Igun, even if you have other options, she's allowed to do Chalitza. So again, the Rashi here assumes, right, a lot of Rishonim just assume there's no Zika in this case in the first place, in which case there's nothing to talk about. But if you assume there's a Zika, the Rashi assumes her Chalitza is valid, but you could have said her Chalitza is not valid. At least Shalom Rav of Egon, her Chalitza is not valid. So that would be another nafkamina of this Chakira. Another nafkamina, not really nafkamina, but Tosfos, he makes a strange assumption we'll mention in a moment. Tosfos asks the following kasha on Dafim Dalin. You tell me what assumption he's making. How come a Chayrish is allowed to do Yibam, right? The whole parak. Chayrish. About a Chayrish doing Yibam. He can't do Chalitza. Someone tell me why can't the Chayrish do Chalitza?
He has to hear it or say it.
Or actually, here it means a Chayrish Sheinu Medaber. He has to talk, as the Gemara says, right? So he has to talk. It means like the Chayrish is Bachar for Mitzvahs, right? Einu Medaber, Ve'einu Shamea. He has to talk, and he can't talk, so he can't do Chalitza. So he says, if a Chayrish can't do Chalitza, why can he do Yibam? Now, what's strange about this Tosfos? He's applying the rule in the opposite direction. But, forgetting about that for now, what's Tosfos' answer? His answer is no! A Chayrish. What is Tosfos' answer? He says, Hasan b'nei chalitza ninu, a Chayrish is shayich to chalitza. Elo humayu dekar v'lehu. He just can't talk. Meaning a Chayrish is chayiv in chalitza. He just can't do it practically. He can't talk. I think Tosfos here, again, it's a little funny because Tosfos is discussing the opposite direction, so I'm not going to say that it depends on the Chakira, but Tosfos certainly is at least fitting in corresponding to the Ramah side of the Chakira here. So it says, yeah, it doesn't, I don't care whether he can actually do Chalitza or not. What I care is he fundamentally chayiv in Chalitza or not. If he's fundamentally chayiv in one, he's fundamentally chayiv in both. But if he just has a technical problem, then there's no principle that says a technical problem is an ikuf. So certainly fits in with our mazdera, although of course it's not exactly the same question because he's moving in the opposite direction, as Yomi pointed out.
There's a difference between a technical problem and a halachic problem.
Hold that thought. So let's just summarize what we've seen so far. Is we've seen that there seems to be lechora from Daf Lamed Hey, and especially from Daf Mem Aleph, a new principle, a second type of kol eino oli yimeno lo chalitza, which says that if you can't practically do yibum, then you can't, if it's usher for you to do yibum, then it's usher for you to do chalitza, because you can't do a chalitza if you didn't really have two things to choose between, is the hezbra I'm adding, which might be a derabbanan principle or a derabbanan principle, folks, Rashi, Rif, the Achronim, Rami, Dayik. Agav, all the Achronim asked, from the Tosfos Yontif here down to Rosh Hashanah, etc., according to Rashi, if it's a derisive principle that if you have a problem side isser with Yibam, you can't do Chalitza, why is Amon Lekon Gadol do Chalitza? After all, he can't do Yibam. And the answer, that's a special Xeris Gazav Vivivimto. Okay, but we said not so Pashat. We said it could be you read this Gemara Kapshuto, if you can't do Yibam, you're not allowed to do Chalitza, a new principle. Or it could be, no, this is just the old principle. If you have no mitzvah at all of Yibam, you have no Shaykhus to Chalitza. And Muberis has no mitzvah yibam at all. And Gimel Chadashim is midrabbanan, they made her like a Muberis, and she has no mitzvah at all on the rabbanan level. But if you have a mitzvah, you just have an iser stopping you, or a practical problem stopping you, we'll come back to, then you're allowed to do chalitza. Because there's no requirement that chalitza, the maisa chalitza has to have an option of yibam. Just, you can only do chalitza if you have a zikas yibam. We said three nafkaminas. One is, what if she's niskacha lazar? Seems to be a focus achronim. If you say there is a principle that you hit the maisa chalitza needs to be an option, then she can't do chalitza until she has a get, unless you say a strange shav Yaakov. But if you say there's no such principle, then she can do chalitza right now. Second is maybe the amon of a melech. If you say there is such a principle that chalitza needs an option of yibam, she can't do chalitza because she didn't have the option of yibam. If you say there's no such principle, you come up with a different explanation why she can't do chalitza, like the Kesa Mishnah. And the third nafkamina is balas tnai. if you assume there's a zika there, if you say there's a psal lamaisa chalitza, if you couldn't have ibum, then his chalitza should be puzzled here. At least shalom makam igun. But if you say there's no such principle, that's the Rashba. It's a side problem. Go ahead. He brings another good raya. That side problem. Go ahead. He said, what about Nuderis Hanah? She makes an Isra Hanah. She's no dare not to get Hanah from the Yavam. She's allowed to do Chalitza. Why? She couldn't have done Yibam. Well, because that's just a side problem. And you only had good proof. What about Nida? He has to wait 7 days. The answer is that's just a side problem. That's not something that fundamentally affects the Zika. So you keep many other rayas to the Rashba, right? Things that fit in well with this other rayas to this side of the Chakira, such as Muderes Hanah, which even though she can't do Yibam, she's allowed to do Chalitza because it's a side problem. And Nida, which the truth is, it doesn't say in the Gemara. This is a Gemara. And this is a Rush. Which even though she can't do Yibam, she could have done, she's still allowed to do Chalitza. Okay, you can get out of those, but we'll leave it for now. I just want to spend the last 6 minutes discussing, what about the opposite direction? Nowhere in the Gemara does it sound like a simple common sense pshat. There's a rule the opposite way, that if someone can't do chalitza, they're not allowed to do yibam. However, we find this in two places in the Rishonim. What are the two places? This Tosfos as a Havamina, and okay. Let us ask, what about the opposite direction? What if, is there such a rule as Eina Ola Lachalitza means that it's also to do Yibam? Is there such a rule? If you can't do Chalitza, you can't do Yibam. Is there such a rule? So, Tosos has at least a havamina of such a rule. He says, look, a cheresh can't do chalitza, so he shouldn't be able to do yibam. It's a package deal. But in the end, he says, no, you know what? I don't know if there's such a rule, but definitely if it's just a side problem, like they can't talk, there's no such rule. So what does Tosos say to Maskana? Maskana is that a side problem preventing chalitza does not prevent yibam. Right? That's Tosos. Right? At the very least, he doesn't know. There's not really any timsa, maybe you could think of, like some fundamental p'tur from chalitza. It doesn't make sense. The Torah never talks about fundamental p'tur from chalitza. It only talks about yibam. But at the very least, if you have a side problem which says you can't do chalitza, you're still allowed to do yibam. Proof is cheresh. Right? Proof is cheresh. However, what's the problem? The Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Not the Melech died. The Melech's brother died. What about a Yavam who's a Melech? Right? Yavam Melech. What about a Yavam who's a Melech? So, what is the Melech for sure not allowed to do? Chalitza, why? Because she has to spit at him. That's a Bizayon. That's an Isser Doraisa of Somtas and Alecha Melech. Shatim also Alecha. Right, so what does the Rambam say? That usher to do chalitza, and then what does the Rambam add in Hilchos Melachim Beis Gimel? The Rambam says actually, I think he says that in the other case, the case where the Melech was the one who died. Here, however, he does say Melachim Perek Beis Melachim Gimel. I think it's pretty clear what he's saying. He says, "Ve'eno cholet shenemar v'yorka v'funav zebizayin v'afilu ratzin shomlo shamel shmochol kvodin kvodin machol v'hoel ve'eno cholet eino miyabim." Right. Therefore, he's not allowed to be miyabim. Right. Really, a melech is allowed to marry someone else's ex-wife. Right. When you're talking about melech, right? You're allowed. Melech theoretically, he's allowed to marry an almon of someone else for sure. Right. Talking about miyabim. But since he can't do chalitza, he can't do yibam. And Rabbi Akiva Eger and all the achronim say, A, where did you come up with this rule that if you can't do chalitza, you can't do yibam? We never heard of this rule, but at the very least, what about cheresh? Clearly, here there's a side problem that he can't do chalitza. Fine, there's a side problem you can't do chalitza, right? Because of Emas HaMelech. So, why is a melech any worse than a cheresh? A cheresh has an ego preventing chalitza, yet he can still do yibam. So a melech has an ego preventing chalitza. Why shouldn't he be able to do yibam? So this is a big chiddush. Who cares? Whoever heard of this idea that if you can't do chalitza, you can't do yibam? And particularly, if you only have a side problem with chalitza, why should that stop you from doing yibam? Why is it any different than a cheresh? That is Rabbi Akiva Eger's question. If you have a Frankel Rambam, it's right on the bottom there. He says, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, why is this worse than a cheresh? Right? He really doesn't like this rule in the first place. Why should yibam be totally on chalitza? Like, it's making ikar tough on top of ikar. But fine, if you want to say fine. But why is this worse than a cheresh? So I saw Rav Elchanan in that Simon Hay wanted to say a big chiddush. He says, no, melech is worse than a cheresh because a cheresh might get better. So, you know, theoretically, someday he can do chalitza. But a melech, even though it says in Horios that a melech who gets saras, stops being a melech, a melech, no matter what happens to him, always keeps his kavod. He no longer brings a sayer for chatas, but he always brings his kavod. So he makes one chiddush, he assumes a melech, even if he gets fired, he can't fire a melech, but God can fire a melech, like it happened with Uzziyahu. Right, even if Hashem fires the melech, like he did with Uzziyahu, he still has kavod. Therefore, a melech is a permanent ikov. Says a melech is a permanent ikov. A cheresh is a temporary ikov, because sometimes they get better. So he says a permanent ikov l'chalitza, asr's yibam, but a temporary ikov doesn't. That's Rav Elchanan's answer. However, Rav Moshe, the Igros Moshe, Simon Kuf Nun Ches, I think, gives a different answer. Morty, what does Rav Moshe say? Rav Moshe says, so, again, Rav Elchanan says, it's a gevaldik akash on the Rambam. He says, because a melech is a permanent ikov, and then he has to make this big chiddush. Anyone who can never do chalitza is not allowed to do yibam. That's a big chiddush. Like, why does the yibam have to have the choice of chalitza? Apparently, he thinks, no, the Torah said, you can only do yibam if you have an out. Anyone who doesn't have an out can't do yibam. You can only do yibam if you have a choice. Then you chiddush. And if you have the choice in the future, that's good enough. Or if you might have the choice in the future, that's good enough. So Cheresh can do Yibam, because he might be able to do Chalitza in the future. But a Melech can't do Yibam, because he can never do Chalitza, assuming, like Rav Elchanan, that even if Hashem fires him, he still has Kavod. Rav Moshe says slightly different way. Rav Moshe says the fundamental difference between the Melech and, this is the Igros Moshe, said in Kof Nun Ches. The Igros Moshe says the fundamental difference between a Melech and a Cheresh. A cheresh has a physical problem. A melech has a halachic problem. Says, what's the difference? A cheresh, he says, is chayav in chalitza. Just can't do it. Okay, so why should that be a problem? He said, however, a melech is not chayav in chalitza. A melech, the whole din of chalitza doesn't apply to him. Why? And I am adding a little promotion. What's the point of chalitza? Shuto shel mikra, what's the point of chalitza? I know not all Rishonim view it the same way, but the Pasha Pshat and Pshuta Shal Mikra, what's the point of Chalitza? To be Mevazahim. The whole point of Chalitza is the opposite of the whole Mahot of a Melech. The Chalos of a Melech is that you're Mechabidim. The whole point of Chalitza is that you're Mevazahim. So he says, Acheresh, the Parsha applies. The Parsha applies. He just, they can't talk, you know? But in the Melech, the parsha doesn't apply because you can't sanction him. You can't sanction the melech. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, that's the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant the cheresh has a side problem. So if he has a side problem with chalitza, he can still be yibam. The melech doesn't just have a side problem. The melech has, the Torah doesn't apply chalitza to a melech because it's the opposite of the whole mahot of a melech. The whole mahot of a melech is kavod and chalitza bizarim. Therefore, since the Torah didn't apply chalitza to a melech, obviously that shows that the Torah didn't mean to talk about a melech here, right? The Torah didn't mean to apply this parsha to a melech because, you know, and again, it's not like some situation, weird situation he got into. It's a kind of gavra. The Torah wasn't talking about the gavra of melech. Therefore, since the Torah wasn't talking about a melech, the whole parsha wasn't talking about a melech. That is how, but, that is what Rav Moshe explains. that says this is a halachic problem, the Torah didn't mean to make a melech bar chalitz in the first place, therefore the Torah obviously exempted a melech from this this entire parsha, and I think that's probably the best teretz for the Rambam.
But if it takes away the whole parsha of Yibum from a melech, why does his wife remain an aguna? There shouldn't be any Zeke on her anymore.
So interestingly, the Rambam doesn't explicitly say whether, we're not talking about the melech's wife here, we're talking about melech's sister-in-law.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't explicitly say whether she has a Zika or not. You would think, Pashup Shah, based on this remotion, that she would not have a Zika. You would think, Pashup Shah, that she would not have a Zika. However, you would think, Pashup Shah, that she would not have a Zika. This might be a little complicated if you remember the Rambam Lashitaseh, who thinks that Zika depends on Tfisa's Kedushin. But nonetheless, I would say Anachnami for Moshe could be Anachnami that she doesn't have a Zika. Reb Chanan is very sure she does have a Zika. But he only says she stays in Zika forever, the Melech's wife, not the Melech's sister-in-law. Could be that because she doesn't have a Zika. Reb Moshe is not 100% committal one way or the other, and the Achronim differ about it. Okay, so that's a little bit of one that's called Oli Yimola Chalitza. We did not yet, we did not get a chance to take a bite out of Abishol and Chachamim, so we'll pick up with that, Amir Tashem, on Thursday. We'll spend maybe a shir and a half on Avishal and Chacham, because I want to get some other Makoros also. And then maybe we'll start speeding through some of the sugyas in the next few blot of Sota. We won't be ma'ayin all the Sota of Enes now. We'll save most of it for Dafir Aleph Yabez. Most of it, spend one shir on it, and then we'll run through Asay Dochulos Asay.